Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a familiar scenario. You're in a hurry. You can't find what you need because your home or office is full of clutter and disorganized. Well, in honor of National Get Organized Month, we have a certified professional organizer in the studio today to answer your questions about getting organized. Sheila Delson is the founder of Free Domain Concepts, which offers consulting and hands-on organizing services to individuals and groups in the Hudson Valley. Sheila is a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers and co-founding member of the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. She specializes in hoarding, ADD, and other neurological issues that cause chronic disorganization. She's co-author of the ICD Clutter Hoarding Scale and helped develop the industry's first certification program for professional organizers. It's great to have you on the show, Sheila. Nice to have you here. Boy,
Thank you.
This is a new one for us.
Yeah, this is great.
Number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. You can tweet, if you wish, at @WAMCVoxPop, or go to our Facebook page, WAMC Radio, and you'll see a Vox Pop post there. Or you can post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, WAMC.org/VoxPop. But we do love the calls here on this program, 1-800-348-2551. So, Sheila Delson, I would assume that among the New Year's resolutions that everybody makes, getting organized has to be close to the top.
Actually, it's true. Getting organized is out of 1 out of 10. It is number 2.
Number 2.
Number 2.
So everybody has this as an issue. Even if you're organized, you could always be a little
more. It's a challenge. Right, it's a challenge, especially in today's new modern day, you know, the paperless society. We're not paperless, really. Probably will never be. And but everybody is challenged with different types of organization. And I really think the big thing is that it's about letting things, having the ability to let things go. Things come into life. We always acquire new things. It's about how life just flows, ebbs and flows. And the issue really is about knowing what to let go of and when to let it go.
So is this more a physical problem of too much stuff or a mental problem
both.
Of just not focusing?
It's
and being,
both.
Really?
It's both. And I think that families today are so, so busy. I don't think they're always that focused on everything that's going on immediately around them and their environment. And it's easy to procrastinate and put things off because those things don't hit a priority level. So I think that that's another big piece of it. And some of it is very psychological, a lot of psychology involved in being organized, staying organized, and so forth. So it is a challenge.
Isn't a little disorganization a good thing, artistically speaking, and being mentally free and not a robot?
Sure, sure. I think that there are certainly areas. I work with artists, too, by the way, and probably they have the most challenging piece for staying organized. And I'll tell you what that's kind of about. So we talk about the right brain, the left brain.
Yeah.
Right. So right brain people are very creative. And actually, that's my favorite population to work with because they're fun, they're warm, they're intelligent. But, you know, they're messy. So and it's very, very typical for more of a right brain creative style to be messy and have problems or challenges with being organized and staying organized.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We talk getting organized with Sheila Delson today on the program. Are you a neat freak?
Sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. I have to honestly tell you, if you saw my office right now, you would think maybe not.
You can be messy and still organized, though.
Absolutely, you can be. And that's a really important thing to talk about, too. Messy doesn't always mean disorganized. Being organized has to do with being able to find what you need and to be able to, so it's about retrieval and replacement, putting things back where they go so that when you need them again, you can find them. So I know people who pile instead of file because they know in that 10-inch pile about 3 inches down, they'd have the exact document that they're looking for.
Yes. And so at this time of year, everybody makes a good attempt. And then by February, it's all over and
Peter's
we're back,
out.
We're
Peter's
back
out.
To the way we are.
Peter's
so
out.
What do you do on a daily basis?
What do I do on a daily basis?
Yeah, what do you
basis?
Do? How do you help people do this?
Oh, okay. Well, let me see. It depends on, actually depends on the need.
Okay.
Everybody's different.
All right. Average case.
Average case. Okay, let's just say we'll talk about paper management because paper is a big issue, especially today. There's paper everywhere. It comes in, we print it, and paper filing becomes an issue. Now, I know a lot of people are trying to do the scan thing and get it all in electronically, but even scanning takes a lot of time. Mm. Filing takes time and scanning takes time. So paper comes in, what to do with it, what to let go of. And every single person's lifestyle will depend on what they need to let go of. You know, kind of like when the mail comes in, you stand over the trash can and immediately get rid of the junk stuff that really has no relevancy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of times people have difficulty even doing that because their thinking is that I really should be reading this if it was worth somebody's time to mail it to me.
But they never read it.
And but then, exactly. And it just goes on a side pile.
Guilty.
And then as after a while, it all stacks up. And then what do you have? You've got a little bit of chaos, and now you've got a lot to have to go through.
Yeah.
And the thing with paper, even before you file it or categorize it, is you have to look at every piece. You have to know what it is, what the subject matter is. Is it still relevant in your life, your world, to your work? And then if it is, how are you going? Where are you going to put it? Where are you going to store it so that you can access it again?
Is it possible to be a mentally organized person and just have piles of junk everywhere? Is it possible?
Mentally organized? I'm not sure.
A person who is focused, knows where they have to be at any given time, knows what they have to do,
mm-hmm.
entirely driven and,
yes.
and well-focused in life, but just as a slob. Is that possible?
Very possible. I see it all the time.
Is that a bad thing?
It depends on the person. If it's bad for the person, then it's a bad thing. If it interferes with their daily quality of life, then it probably is a bad thing for them.
Sheila Delson is our guest. Sheila is the founder of Free Domain Concepts, which offers consulting and hands-on organizing services to individuals and groups in the Hudson Valley. I've been monopolizing the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Scott in Schenectady. Scott, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Sheila. How you doing?
Hi, good, Scott.
I kind of bounce around a lot, on the road a lot. I find it hard to separate the necessities from what I absolutely need from what I kind of don't. My father passed away recently, and he left me with a bunch of stuff, and I find it hard to kind of get rid of it all because I just have that need to feel like I could, I might want it at some point or another.
Sure.
Kind of like the pile you were just talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to sort through that pile because I'm always on the road.
Is that what you meant by necessities?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Well, exactly. You know, let me just comment on what your statement about your lost your dad recently, and you're finding it hard to go through his things and to let go. And, you know, I got to tell you, if it's recent, I think you need to allow some time to go by before you even need to engage in that sort of thing. And if it's something that's items that are in your way for just helping you to daily function, then maybe just setting them aside someplace, boxing them up, put them in a different closet, create a little safety zone for those items that are still there. You'll access them when you're able to, but I think there's too much emotional stimulation when you go near them. And, you know, the other thing is, too, making decisions right now about your dad's stuff when it's so raw and recent, I just don't recommend it.
Okay. The trouble is that like I said, I'm on the road all the time. It's hard to find place to store the stuff. So, what would be your advice as far as what a necessity would be, as to oppose what a memorabilia, so to speak, would be?
I guess I can't answer that because I'm not sure what those items are as far as necessities go. Go ahead. Go ahead. Help me understand what you mean by necessities. Can you give me an example?
He was just the things that remind me of him, important things that remind me of him. Mm-hmm. I could kind of consider that those are the things that I choose to hang on to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I really don't feel like I'm in the position to hang on to all of them. So I can hang on to some of them, but not all of them, you know. So.
Well, you know, okay. So strategically, you may need to sort of try to back away from the emotional piece to it and try to identify with yourself what to you really is important. And if you can just do kind of like a, this would be high priority number one, this item, other item would be priority number two. And then if you feel that you need to reduce those items, take a photograph of them. Create either an album or a memorabilia box and put those items in a box and just take a photograph. I think, and you can always store the photos electronically, but in this case, I'm not so sure I would do that. I think I would recommend putting them in a box, a small box, the photos. I'm just talking about the photos, where you can have access to them and look through them periodically whenever you want to. And then the other items, you know, you're going to have to store. And I know you said you're on the road a lot, but Scott, honestly, you're going to have to take the time in order to do this. If you don't have the time, you may want to see if you can hire somebody or a buddy to come in and help you work with it. And just get it moving. It sounds like it's really all troubling you. Yeah.
Well, Scott, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Zach, the engineer, I would say time for a break if we want to stay organized here on the program. Sheila Delson is our guest, and we'll be back with more calls at 1-800-348-2551 in a moment.
Comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. Boydenandperrin.com. And Epic 18 Vermont Artisans, Manchester Center, an artisan-owned and operated cooperative craft gallery honoring handmade traditions and contemporary design. EpicVermont.com.
Say, have you tried the WAMC app yet? Oh, it's lovely. It's, I think, version 2 or 3 now, and always being tweaked and updated. It's nice if you have an iPhone or an Android. Try it out at the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store. You might like it. You can listen live. You can listen to archive stuff. WAMC app is ready for you in 2015. Help organize your listening enjoyment. Don't forget the fun drive starts on, good heavens, it's 2 weeks from Monday. If you want to kick in now, the lockbox is open, wamc.org. Make your pledge now. Everything raised in the lockbox between now and the start of the on-air drive counts on minute one. So feed the lockbox. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Sheila Delson is our guest. We talk getting organized today. Now, as our society becomes more and more digital and theoretically less and less paper-oriented, more and more people getting bills electronically delivered, are we headed for a more organized future as a society? Oh, let's turn your mic on. That's good. Okay.
Well, I think that that is the objective. I'm not really 100% sold on the fact that we're going to end up being paperless. I think maybe as the generations continue on, that may very well be true. I think there's a lot of different ways we think about things. People still like their paper. We're still very human. We like to touch it, feel it, hear it turn pages. You know, there's a lot of electronic readers now. I own one myself, and I have to say I still prefer to hold a book in my hand.
I'm not meaning books so much, and I agree with you about books. I like to hold a book. No, I mean bills and things that require good organization, or else you're behind on your bills.
Right. And actually, a lot of electronic bills being received electronically are fabulous.
Yep.
Because they do eliminate the paper thing. And there's different ways to set it up so that you get reminders and so forth. So I do think that is the way to go. I know even for myself, that's how I pay a lot of my bills electronically. I don't get a lot of paper in the mail anymore as far as bills go. Same thing.
And yet your office is still a mess by your own
admission. That's all program development.
All right.
Very different.
Good answer. Let's go back to the phones. Gail in Adams, Mass. Gail, you're on. Hello?
Gail,
you're on.
Hello, I'm not Gail.
Oh gosh, you're Wally. I hit the wrong button. Hey, Wally, you're on.
Awesome. So I'm just wondering, what is your counsel for couples that are very different in their approaches? For example, I'm not quite a neat freak, and I'm my partner is, well, a slob.
A slob?
A slob.
Oh, boy. That's not a good start.
Doesn't put anything away, leaves everything everywhere, totally disorganized. So, just wondering what your counsel would be.
Well, solving this problem.
Okay. We're going to turn you down a little bit, Wally, but we'll bring you back for a follow-up. Go ahead.
Well, I really think that your situation is not all that uncommon, to tell you the truth. I see it all the time. I think what the recommendation or the approach really should be is for the two of you to take the time and sit down and come up with a plan that works for both of you. I think the other thing that's really important is to know that everything, you know, that old adage, everything in its place, and making sure that you have a system where all those items that you're talking about that she leaves around really have a place to be returned to. I think that that's also a really important thing. And also creating new habits. Habits have to be done by repetition in order for them to become rote.
So divorce court is not necessarily the first option here for Wally. All right, Wally, well, thank you. The noise level is pretty high on your call. But it's a two-way street, though, right, Sheila?
It is a two-way street.
In other words, the slob has to improve. But Wally also has to loosen up a little bit, right?
Right, maybe loosen up a little bit too, yes.
All right, let's go over. Now we go to Gail in Adams, Mass. Gail, you're on.
Hi. I have a technical question, I guess.
Okay.
In terms of which would be better time-wise. For instance, I can tell you exactly where my Teflon tape is for pipe. I may use it like once every year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to use my glue gun, I have things in bins, in little plastic bins, and they're marked like electrical or adhesive.
Sure.
And here's my question in terms of organization. I know that it's going to be in one of the three boxes marked adhesive. Would it be more efficient to take each box and label what's in each box of adhesives? Or would it be more efficient to make an index so that if I want a glue gun, I can go to the index and it'll say, okay, it's in adhesive box number 3?
Yours is a really good question. And I frankly love indexing. I think that it helps us put things away out of your living space so it's not interfering with your everyday workflow. And yet it also allows us to be able to immediately know where something is. I think it also increases our self-confidence. So I love indexing. You can pick up a sheet of paper or go on your computer, look it up and find which box it is. The key, of course, as you just said, is that you have to make sure that you either number or letter or do some sort of identification for each box.
I love
the indexing. You know, you can take time and write on the outside of a box every single item that's inside of it. And that's another option as well. I think either one works. I think it's really more, you know, what's comfortable for your style.
I would think it would probably take longer to index, but quicker to find something.
So,
because then if I have the glue gun in adhesive box number 3, without indexing, I would have to go to each box and read what's in each box.
That's very accurate. And here would be my question to you. Which would be the higher priority for you? What resonates?
Oh, to find something when I need it.
Yeah, what resonates exactly? What resonates with you as have a higher priority? What would make your life flow better if you needed something? And also, here's another thing. What will increase your sense of confidence that you can find it and you'll know where to put it back? So whichever way works for you is the right way.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Gail. We appreciate the call very much. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Sheila Delson is our guest, founder of Free Domain Concepts, which offers consulting and hands-on organizing services to individuals and groups in the Hudson Valley. So is there a significant percentage of people who have a card catalog for everything in their house? This blows my mind. I've got to be honest with you.
There are some people that do have a card catalog for everything in their house. Absolutely. There's a wonderful system out there. It's an electronic system called Taming the Paper Tiger. And it's an electronic system, and it's about really mostly indexing.
But that's just for paperwork, right?
No, not necessarily for paperwork. For your clothes, for your clothes closet, for any other items. I know some people that have multiple different types of cameras. So each camera might be for children and where that one's going to be stored and so forth, and it's all even papers that we do have to keep, such as insurance papers, you know, our cards for your automobiles and so forth. Got it. That is paper, and we do have to always keep it. So where are you going to store some of this stuff? So it is an electronic system, and it works very similar to an indexing system.
I understand that there is more or less a graded scale as far as pathology goes with up to and including hoarding, but is there a reverse one for hyper-organization? In other words, can you just be out to lunch and be too organized?
Well, I don't know about the out to lunch part, but yeah, there certainly is the opposite. However, I have to honestly tell you, it's a very low percentage.
Okay.
And, you know, those types of individuals don't really, you know, they don't need my help or an organizer's help.
They need to relax a little bit.
But yeah, because sometimes that does interfere with relationships and so forth. So yes, that is a different, but more of a psychological one, I think.
All right, fair enough. Sheila Delson is, I'm just giving you the Mike Wallace treatment here. Judy in Massachusetts. Judy, you're next. Hello, Judy, are you there?
I am.
You're on.
I really appreciate the show. I'm 70 and just been diagnosed with something that I think that I'm going to have to think about selling my home. It's been 40 years. I'm an only child, and I have all of this stuff from my ancestors still stored, aunties and moms, and then I work for the public, and I have all these mementos and memories and stuff, and I'm wondering how. Then I have things that might be antiques and valuable, and I'm thinking, how do I initiate this to go through and sell the stuff that's valuable and just get rid of the stuff that isn't? I'm thinking of downsizing into an apartment or a condo.
Okay.
Can you motivate me?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is to literally just get something moving. And sometimes this process takes on a life of its own. But I think the first thing that I would recommend is for you to go through the house. And, you know, you can use little red dots or stickers. You can get them in any of the office supply stores. And identify items with these little dots. And I think that this is going to be a way for you to start breaking into this process. I'll just give you an example. You may want to take a red dot and put a red dot on everything that you want to sell. And then I don't know what your timeline is here. It sounds like it's you want to move on this pretty soon.
Well, I just don't want to procrastinate.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't want to be in a situation where I'm in an emergency versus...
Good. Mm-hmm. You're so smart. You're so smart.
Well, talk is cheap.
Wow. Good point.
Well, so, okay, so you can start by going and get a little packet of colored dots, okay? So,
yeah.
But put a defined color on everything that you want to sell, and then start working the process backwards. You know, things that you absolutely do not need and absolutely can get rid of, whether it's items that you can trash or recycle or donate. Those things could be another dot color. And take one room at a time. Mm. Don't do the entire house. Just do one room at a time.
How do you get rid of, like, photos from... This will be the end. If I get rid of all these albums and photos from three generations ago, that's it. How do you throw them?
I don't. Well, you know, if you have the time to go through them, and you absolutely know that they're not necessary to keep, one or two or whatever amount
are not necessary
to keep, then just let them go.
Okay.
When was the last time you looked at those photos?
I can't look at them because then it makes me sad.
It makes you sad. And, you know, we do say that anything that makes us sad or depressed, we should not have in our environment.
So, oh, I like that.
So
that helps.
Yeah. So I think that that might be a little clue right there for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you are downsizing, it's about, here's the other thing. I like to use the term right-sizing, not downsizing, because what you're doing is you're just making a correction in your life currently and going forward. And a lot of times we think that we have to bring all the stuff from our past with us, and unless it's got value to you, unless it's valuable, unless it's going to help you in your life going forward, it's probably an unnecessary item to have in your life. So, you know, it is a process. It is about letting go. And I think if you do those color dots, it'll start you also to thinking in the process a little bit more. It may be easier for making some decisions.
Sounds good.
Judy,
that's
thank you.
Helpful. Thank you so much.
You're
for this
welcome.
Program.
Good luck, Judy.
Appreciate the call very much. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You deal with ADD and neurological issues,
yes,
and hoarding. And how do you, when you go to help someone,
mm-hmm,
how quickly do you know by looking at the way they live, oh, there's something else going on here? There's something neurological going on here. How quickly can you tell?
I can tell sometimes even before I walk into someone's environment just by a phone conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as looking at the physical environment, yeah, I can tell right away. It's only because I've been doing this for so long, and it depends on the conversation and the language that's oftentimes used by the client. It's pretty easy to tell.
I have a tough time fathoming the whole concept of hoarding, but you told me in the green room that there's a large percentage, or at least a sizable percentage of the population that would be considered hoarders.
Right, and that's because that's an estimate. It's an estimation, and that's because hoarding is, you know, it's something that people hide in a closet for. It's not something always spoken, but
if it's in the closet, then it's not really hoarding, right? It's out of the way.
I didn't mean in the closet. I meant it's everybody is just very quiet about it. Family members don't like talking about, you know, Aunt Susie has this big problem and we can't go to her home and all these other things. So it's not always as exposed, let's just
say.
Okay,
let's go to Marie in Newburgh. Marie, you're on.
Hi. I think that was an intro to my question. I'm interested in the definition of hoarding. I think that it's a very broad spectrum, and I know a person who has had a lot of grief in her background,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and can't be approached without causing a temper tantrum, mm-hmm, about her collections.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody I know very well, and I'm... I know there's been at least 5 very serious deaths in her family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm related to her, so I have the same experience.
Wow.
She will not agree that she's hoarding. She's going through a transition period.
Mm-hmm.
And so she may look like a hoarder to the outside world, but I knew her when she had a very organized life and her house was
okay,
very clean. She had people over for dinner and there was,
okay,
you know, she was younger, obviously, but it was a different set of life circumstances. So I guess my question is, you know, how much time do you let a person go, you know, before, I don't know if the confront is the word. It really
an intervention of some kind.
It's intervention,
yeah.
you're speaking about, yeah.
You know, I don't want to cause a real family uproar.
Yeah. Well, okay.
But,
so it looks like you've been through this before, Sheila.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know this really well. It's very heartbreaking for family members and friends to sit on the sidelines and pay attention and watch, and it's very, very painful. So you answered one of my first questions was, has this family member been organized in the past? And you already said yes. And then you also identified that she's had a lot of loss. And what we've learned about compulsive hoarding, especially if it's a sort of comes on suddenly in somebody's life, is it usually is identified to some sort of trauma that is related to loss. So I think you've already well identified exactly what's going on. I want you to also understand that the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual on mental health, hoarding has been given its own code. So as of, I think, a year ago, May, it is in the DSM-5 and is considered a mental health illness. So, and what happens, what we've learned in organizing, is that when trauma hits, a little switch is sort of flipped. You know, it's that primal switch. We as humans originally, you know, that's what we did. We hoarded in order to survive, whether it's clothing, food, whatever. That's what that was our primal instinct, to survive. And of course, as years have gone on, generations, that switch has been turned off or neutralized because we have such an abundance around us anymore. But when it comes to trauma, for some people, significant trauma makes that switch flip. And what we've learned is it's almost impossible to make it go back again. The only thing we can do is to retrain and so forth. It's a very, very difficult thing.
Thank you very much for the call. We need to take a break here, and we appreciate everybody calling in today or emailing. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. We talk with Sheila Delson, and we hit the home stretch coming up.
Support comes from the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. Hubbard Hall Center for the Arts and Education, presenting the Winter Carnival of New Work, 12 plays, 12 days, game on, weekends through February 1st. HubbardHall.org. Envision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more, where eyewear is an art. Facebook or visionexcelicare.com.
Yeah, it's Chuck DeLoya on the guitar, Art Bernstein on drums. It's ABCD. They're my good friends, those guys, and boy, they sound good. All right, this is Vox Pop, and before we get back to the phones, hang in there if you're Carol in the Berkshires, or even if you're not, if you're on the phone, hang in there. Sheila Delson is our guest. We're going to read a few emails here, Sheila. This is from Jeff. What techniques would you recommend for someone who has trouble staying organized in all aspects of their environment, from dishes to paperwork to nostalgia, trapping one with useless memorabilia taking up space?
All of that. Wow.
And you can do 12 words or less, please.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think that that really would require an engaged conversation, first of all,
okay,
to find out maybe what are your priorities in life? What are you doing with your life? Where are you going? Are you married? Are you married in a home with kids? What exactly is your situation? Because I think that that is a really critical piece. It's not just about the stuff. It's about, you know, how you're thinking about your stuff and so forth. So we'd have to really have a heavy conversation.
And
about
I say there was a follow-up email from Jeff, who put in parentheses that would you recommend for someone suffering from depression? And all of this, Jeff says, is from this person suffering from depression.
Ah.
So does that help you?
It helps a lot. Yeah, well, first of all, depression, I think I often will recommend anybody in depression maybe should be on medication and should be being treated by a medical physician on this.
Okay.
I mean, that's got to be the first thing right away.
All right. And then if you deal with the depression successfully, potentially these other issues clear themselves up?
I don't think they clear themselves up, but I certainly think that some intervention with regards to training and coming up with a plan, identifying the important things to be organized in somebody's life. So you start to separate, you know, the wheat from the chaff, so to speak.
Here's one from Harry, who says he has an enormous collection of CDs. I don't need any more. Could you ask Ms. Delson, if there is anywhere to donate or sell old CDs, or should I just throw them in the trash? Thanks in advance.
Wow. Well, I know that there are a lot of people that are just throwing them in the trash. Yeah. They are recyclable, by the way. That's always an option. But also, there is Recycle. You can go online and certainly Craigslist and so forth. You never know. People might find them interesting and may want them.
I laugh only because I think I know this person. He went by the name Harry Palms, and I think he was just kidding us. So, all right, let's go with another email here. This looks more serious. Mark, dear Sheila, is there a connection? Let me start to correct his own work. Is there a connection between procrastination and hoarding? If so, what can a procrastinator do so as not to end up turning into a hoarder? Also, I want to go to the next procrastinators convention, but for some reason, they keep putting it off. Everybody's a comedian.
Bada bing. Yeah. So there is no direct correlation between procrastination and hoarding. In fact, I don't know that I've ever really put those two together per se, but I think procrastination, one of the key elements to procrastination is perfectionism. It needs to be done absolutely right or it doesn't get done at all. And that's why we procrastinate. So I think in all truth that you need to maybe consider what's going on in your own idea of being organized. Mm. And, you know, there's no such thing as perfection. So cut to the chase and cut to it.
Okay, let's go to Carol in the Berkshires. Carol, thanks for waiting. You're up.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Carol.
I would like to know, how do you speed up the process when there's a deadline involved without overwhelming everyone involved?
That's a really tough one, because when you've got other people involved, you know, one thing doesn't always fit well with the other one. So that's always a challenge. But I think if you're talking about whoever these other people are, and you're all working for the same goal.
Selling a home.
I had a feeling that's where you were going with this. I think that you need to all of you sit down and come up with a plan. I think that's the first thing. Assign roles to each person. Assign guidelines. You know, what gets tossed, what gets donated, what gets moved, and where it's going. I think that's going to help put a little airlift underneath the process. You have to be very strategic about it and try to get away from all the emotional pieces. I think the emotion is really what slows things down.
Mm. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Carol,
good luck.
Let's go over to Sarah in Franklin, Connecticut. Sarah, you're up.
Hi there. I was diagnosed 6 years ago with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been well organized in my life, ever. Mm-hmm. So now I have a household of my own. I have two young kids who also have the ADHD.
Sure.
Now it's a process of how do I keep my house right side up? It's not something I ever learned, so I feel like I'm starting back at square one. And I have to, like, learn how to clean my house and learn how to keep things organized and be consistent at it. And it's a constant fight.
Well, I think, first of all, I'm just listening to what you said, that you've kind of always had this situation or this issue. And, you know, if the baseline, the bottom line really starts with systems, knowing that you've got things set up so that you can, as I was talking to an earlier caller, it's really important to have everything in its place, a place for everything and everything in its place. Mm. That creates the ability to find and replace. It also, you're going to have to start doing some routines, repetition, and the more you frequently use whatever the system is, the more comfortable you'll get with it. The other thing is to be careful that you're not accumulating a lot of things that don't have a place to be. So you just have only what you need. And especially with ADD, I talk about keeping your environment as simple as possible. The things that you need, and especially, you know, you're raising children with ADD, and I did as well. So keeping their environment as simple and well-organized or clean and clutter-free as best as possible, that's the environment that they're probably going to flourish in.
Okay. Sarah, thank you very much for the call. Over to Joanne and Rhinebeck. Joanne, you're on.
Hi, Sheila. We were listening to the show,
Hi,
and my
Joanne.
Husband heard your advice on photos. And I don't know why he wouldn't call in, but he wanted me to call in and say that I'm committed to getting rid of the photos.
Ooh.
But I'm not there yet. You know, 2 years ago I said, like that woman who said she's the final repository
yes.
for all the family photos,
yeah.
I'm in a similar situation.
Mm.
And first I said, well, I'm going to scan them all in.
Sure.
That way I don't have to feel a total loss. Well, that was 2 years ago. I've never done that. Then I even bought a special scanner for it. Then
we heard him say that.
They heard you. And then a year ago, I said, well, I think I'll do some artwork with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Hearing your great advice, what can I do to actually make the commitment and get something done, whether it's to scan them in and dump them
mm-hmm.
or to do artwork and dump them? Do you have any?
You know what it all comes down to? It all comes down to time. It all comes down to time. Where do you want to spend your time? The art, if you want to be creative and you're going to get some joy and pleasure out of the creative piece, I think go for it. If you just want to, you know, eliminate it, you can do the scanning and file them that way. So I think really it has to do again with what your comfort level, what jazzes you when you think of either of those two options.
I just want to get room back in the basement.
Okay, so there you go.
Hey, Joanne. Why don't you make your husband do the scanning?
David.
Yeah.
He says you should do the scanning.
There you
Great
go.
Great idea. I love
there
that
you go.
One.
There you go.
Well, I'm here to help. Hey, Joanne,
thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And Sheila, I hope to get to, if there's room, I hope to get to your workshop this weekend.
Oh, thank you. I hope to see you there.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye now. Bye. Thank you very much. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Sheila Delson is our guest. We talk getting organized today. Barry in Massachusetts. Barry, you're up.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My aunt and my uncle, they have a lot of stuff, but it's organized. Like, it's real. Everything's in totes. Everything's labeled. But they have so much stuff, and it's just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if they are hoarders or is there a name for that?
I don't believe what you just described would be considered hoarding. Hoarding is paints a very different picture from what you just described. It sounds to me like they are just acquirers. They've managed to take care of their items. Obviously, they have managed some sort of organizing system that works for them. So I don't know that I would consider that a hoarding situation. And honestly, without really seeing the situation, it's, you know, it's hard. But that just didn't paint a hoarding picture to me.
All right. So, well, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thanks a lot, Barry. We appreciate the call. Now, you handed out to me and to others here a clutter hoarding scale quick reference guide.
Correct.
Take us briefly through the five levels that sort of go from clutter to full-on hoarding.
Absolutely. There are five levels on the clutter hoarding scale, and the first level would be low, would be normal household functions, all rooms functioning the way they're intended, very, very little clutter, a lot of good house maintenance. All systems are working. The ventilation systems are working. Nothing is blocked. So that would be level one. Level two is you start to see the build up, where level two would be more clutter, a little less housekeeping services involved. Level three becomes a little bit more of a concern. It is all of these levels are color-coded, by the way. So level three is where we start to become a little bit concerned, actually almost a lot concerned, because it usually identifies maybe some rodents, sometimes multiple animals that are not being cared for.
So pets that are not being cared for?
Pets that are not being cared for or allowed to run in a little bit more havoc. We sometimes see fecal matter. We just see a lot of no housekeeping practices. Sometimes clutter in boxes and laundry laying around Exits are blocked, windows are blocked.
So this is a level three.
So this starts with a level three, exactly.
So at this point, then, it's starting to be a real issue.
Right, here, exactly. Level three is a real issue. I call level three the tipping point between three and five. That's sort of a tipping point.
Yeah.
So you can have a low level three, and at a certain point, all of a sudden, it tips. And once it tips, we go into a level four. Level four is far more serious. We don't suggest professional organizers work in environment in level four unless they're extremely well trained, and then it also is going to require a lot of other interventional services as well.
So in other words, if you hit level four, there are most probably many other issues at play that a professional organizer cannot fix.
Right. Many other issues. And even in level three, I would say, there is some sort of psychological component going on with the residents or the resident. And those things have to be checked. And usually I will tell a client that I'd like them to be working with a therapist at the same time. It's a lot of emotional stuff going on.
You just said something very interesting. Mm-hmm. You said persons. Is it often the case that a hoarder can be a couple?
Oh, yes.
So
my gosh.
How does that
absolutely
pathology go from one person to the next?
Well, also don't forget there's a lot of environmental, you just sort of get caught up in it, where I've seen a lot of times that couples will just, they just get caught up in their own pattern of life. So, and the pattern sticks. And sometimes there's one particular person that's a little bit more of a follower, and they just kind of go along with it. So we see that quite often.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so it's not always a solitary person.
It absolutely is not always.
And are pets often involved?
Yes. Unfortunately, pets are. And that's kind of a heartbreaking thing. Children are also live in these environments, and there's a lot to be said about children of hoarders and the incredible suffering that these children go through when they're living with parents or family members that are hoarding and the home is hoarded. It's really quite heartbreaking.
At what point in your duties, if you show up and say you think, oh, well, we have a level three here, and you walk into the house and you say, good heavens, we have to call the Department of Health now. I mean, at what point did they get involved?
I am not mandated. Professional organizers not mandated to report. Even if we see any kind of abuse, we are not mandated to report. However, there is, I always feel, a moral obligation if we see something really, really egregious going on. So level three, I wouldn't necessarily see anything like that in a three, but maybe perhaps by a level four. And I want you to just understand one thing. This clutter hoarding scale is not about identifying the individual. This is an environmental scale. So it really addresses the environment, not necessarily the person. So I'm really, really, we need to make that distinction.
The further you go down the list, I would say the tougher it is to distinguish the person from the environment, though.
Yes, because of the behavior. But then the behavior has to be identified in a very different way, not necessarily about the environment. So the environment, if I were being called in, I would have to say to the homeowner, you know, this is a really dangerous situation. It's an unhealthy one for you to be living in. We need to address it right away. Before I can organize anything, we need to address this is a higher scale of priority of importance, and even for my own safety or for the organizer's safety.
I see. You have tips here, the personal protective equipment.
Exactly.
For each of the levels.
Right.
And by level four and five.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, again, levels four and five, we don't really recommend professional organizers work in that environment, especially level five. And by then, you know, if we need to do a cleanup, you're talking about crime scene protection and other types of companies that can really handle that level of danger, actually.
Well, Sheila Jelson, we're just about out of time here. It was so interesting to have you here, and we've not done
fun. I love it.
Not done a program like this one before, and we will certainly have you back. You can find out much more about what Sheila does and free domain concepts and links at our website, wamc.org/voxpop. But what is your website?
Freedomainconcepts.com.
Well, so nice to have you here. Thanks to everybody who called in. A difficult topic at times, but it's certainly an interesting one. And you can hear the Vox Pop archive of this show in about 15 or 20 minutes on our website. wamc.org. Support comes from Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering weekend and week-long workshops for adults and teens in a farm setting. Registration now open for 2015 classes. Snowfarm.org. Empire State Youth Orchestra and Select Chorus performing Orff's Carmina Burana at the Palace Theater on January 25th, sponsored by Hannay Reels and Bank of America, palacealbany.com or esyo.com. And East Haven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals, easthaven.com. Thanks again to Sheila Delson. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Mary Vetter, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it is a Food Friday. Stay tuned now for a news update.